Here on KGYM. Coming up, we're going to talk Oklahoma State, Iowa State football with the beat writer from the Tulsa World for the Cowboys, and that is Mark Cooper. Bowling Night in America preview coming up. Chris List of rotowire.com as well to answer your fantasy football questions. We'll let you know what's happening at downtown at the Girls State Volleyball Tournament here in Cedar Rapids. And comment a little bit about a few topics before we get into things today. It is a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class, all coming your way right here on KGYM. Happy National Letter of Intent Day. We welcome you into the Gym Class for a Wednesday. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Kyle Mann, our producer here today. Thanks for joining us at 1600 AM, 107.5 FM here in Cedar Rapids and North Gym, South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. And a big welcome to everybody who's in town for the state volleyball tournament going on. A lot of visitors here in the city of Five Seasons here today and through Friday. As they crown five champions over there, we'll get you updated on what's happening at the Cell Center coming up here in just a little bit. It is National Letter of Intent Day, and as kind of is our practice, we congratulate everybody that signed letters of intent, whether it be with Division I schools all the way down to NAIA, Division III, junior colleges, whatever the case may be, because you all deserved a big pat on the back, your parents, guardians, whatever the case may be, they also deserve a big pat on the back. And we can name them, but we would be remiss to do so because we would miss about 100 because there are a ton of them around the metro and around the corridor and around eastern Iowa. But our congratulations to all of them.
I echo that. And those are very kind words towards the parents and all everybody affiliated with those athletes. Iowa basketball, Joe Wieskamp, the terrific guard out of Muscatine, visited with our friend Joel in Muscatine, who wrote a terrific article on Joe and his family and really top-flight guard coming into the program. And C.J. Frederick from Kentucky, a 6'4 guard, also joining the Iowa program as well.
That is true, and a very good recruiting class right there. Iowa State with a very good recruiting class. Ty, if you're going into the star machine and the star method, it tied for the top recruiting class ever. Three Chicagoans for Iowa State, which is, I think, a first for the Cyclones. And also, of course, a young man from the state of Wisconsin. It's very, very good. Iowa State women with three. The Iowa women with four recruits. You and I think, signed 3/5 of the Cedar Falls starting lineup.
Yeah.
Not too bad. When
women,
Yes, you and I, women, signed three-fifths of the starting lineup for the Cedar Falls Tigers this year. Of course, Cameron Finley now up there. But, you know, yeah. Congratulations to everybody out there.
A.J. Green, terrific guard out of Cedar Falls, signing with the UNI men, and he's going to be terrific.
Probably the best prospect they have had.
Yeah. Matt Mims out of Xavier, going to go to San Diego State.
South Dakota State.
That's good for him. And some other Iowa City players.
Ashley Jones to Iowa State women.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be going there for Bill Finley, and don't think Bill is relishing that significantly,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure, at this point. Iowa Wrestling Media Day going on as we speak right now, as Tom Brands is down there probably saying they're going to try to dominate the universe again.
He's got some concerns, I think.
Which is always a lot of fun. Yeah, Iowa's preseason number 7, and that's not the rarefied air that Iowa wrestling is used to at this point. There are some spots that Iowa needs to fill, and we'll talk about that with Mark Ironside coming up next week. And Kevin Dresser, after Iowa State's first performance, wasn't real enamored, said the camp's fun is over. It's time to go to work now.
Mm-hmm.
So got that going on as well over in Ames. We'll talk about that all next week. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment on National Letter of Intent Day. If you'd just like to reach out to the program, that is the Hurting & Stocker Jewelers text line. They are located on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. Again, that's 319-366-1600. That is our phone number as well, 319-366-1600. Volleyball going on right now. These two teams, and we talked to Jeff Linder about this last Friday, and this is not a real big surprise. These two teams are on a collision course to meet in Class 2A, and that is Western Christian and Dyke New Hartford. Watching a little bit of the Dyke New Hartford match today, and this is not me saying that they should move up because they're so good into 5A or whatever the case may be, but it's almost unfair to watch them play 2A schools. They're that dominating. And they won, I believe, 25-9, 25-10, 25-9 today over Wapsie Valley. Western Christian just put down Iowa City Regina 3-0 today, 25-10, 25-20, and 25-12. And we were just talking before we got going here. Of course, the high water mark for high school dominance was Cedar Rapids Washington boys swimming for a long, long time with the streak of district championships that they had that was broken last winter. And now probably the new standard is Western Christian volleyball. Think about this. Western Christian is in the semifinals. Jeff Linder tweeted this out, by the way. Western Christian, the Wolfpack, are in the semifinals for the 17th straight year. The girls that are playing on this Western Christian team were being born, and some of them were not born when the streak started.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that for a while. I mean, is that the new standard right now as far as streaks in high school sports?
Yeah, but Western Christian has a ways to go. Washington Swimming was 50, 51, 52, yeah, something
50s.
Like that.
It was in the 50s.
Straight years that won the district title. I mean, that's just unheard of, but the streak that Western Christian is being, I mean, it just perpetuates itself, you know, through the sons and daughters, not just sons, but daughters and mothers and whatnot. It just the beat goes on.
Absolutely. And a couple other things to get to here, and we will. But first, I'm going to bring in on the phone line, you asked for him, Mark.
I did.
And he appears. It's like Beetlejuice. You say it three times, and Joel comes on from Muscatine. Hi, Joel.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, it was a big day in our community with Joe signing his letter of intent. And as you guys know, I have a long-standing history with him as a person, and now in my job, cover him as a sports writer in our community. I don't know the Iowa fan base realizes how quality of a human he is. So I'm really excited for kind of the world and maybe you guys who are in the bigger markets to start to see that this guy isn't just a top, you know, 50 basketball player. He has a really unique style of leadership. He's quiet. He's not super loud, but he works really, really hard. And I think he'll blend really well. And he told me that last night. I think he'll blend really, really well with the people who are already on campus. And he literally grew up bleeding black and gold. So, you know, the things that weren't happening before Fran McCaffrey got there with some of the top talent leaving, I think guys like Joe are going to really set the stage for the guys who are coming up behind him. And I think we're in for maybe the next wave of great Iowa basketball, and it's going to be with in-state talent, which I don't know if you could say that. You know, it's pretty remarkable with mm-hmm. what McCaffrey is accomplishing.
I agree, Joel. And I read your outstanding piece about Joe, and he had some medical issues early in his life, didn't he?
Well, it was you know, before he was born. I talked to Steve and Dana last night, his parents, or Monday night, excuse me, and full disclosure, my dad and Steve were business partners for 17 years, so I've known the family most of my life. And there were some touch-and-go issues, or preterm labor, not touch-and-go. And so they had to do some just precautionary things, and his mom was on bed rest. But there was a time where they weren't sure, and they had to go to the University of Iowa hospitals. And I think at no point was he ever in grave danger, but they weren't sure. And, you know, with any time in that situation, it could take a turn for the worse or for the better at a moment's notice. And unfortunately, it was a not dramatic thing, but it just goes to show, like, the family is very strong in their faith. They're a very close-knit family. His older brother's a wide receiver at Western Illinois. And to me, the thing that I took the most from him was he talks to Western Illinois point guard Emily Clemens, who's the Summit Player of the Year, the point guard. That's his older brother's girlfriend, and they talk almost every day. So he's got a lot of good people around him to figure out what are the good situations for how to grow better as a big-time Division I athlete. his support system is very good.
Yeah, really is. And if people want to take a look at it, I've seen him several times over the years of his career and just gotten better and better each year. A lot of people comparing him to a Bobby Hansen, which is pretty darn good company out there on the court anyway. And like you said,
I'm obviously too young for Bobby Hansen. I didn't watch him play in high school. I watched him play a little bit at the end of his career professionally. But I can see where people are saying that. Another one that his dad played on the Iowa Select team with Fred Hoiberg and Chris Street. And Steve was saying that, you know, Joe's got some of Fred Hoiberg and some of Chris Street in his game, too. Steve's not an overbearing father. He doesn't want to put any kind of extra pressure on Joe, but there's just a lot to like about his game. He plays really hard defense as a high school student or as a high school athlete. And he does it on the AAU circuit, which Casey Smith with the Iowa Barnstormers told me about that, you know, he's a guy who's out there trying to man up and defend on the AAU circuit, and you just don't see that very much. So I think he's looking forward to going, and you could tell today he was happy just to – he committed in June after his freshman year of high school. So this has been a long time coming, and I think he's just happy to have it officially done. Now he can talk about it. And I think the Iowa coaches are going to be excited that they can finally talk about him now, too.
Pretty big deal in Muscatine, huh, Joe?
Yeah, we've had a good week. Drake Kulik scoring a touchdown at Ohio State. And Joe signing his letter of intent. And both of those kids are a product of the Catholic elementary school and middle school in Muscatine. And have had a lot of crossover in teachers and coaches along the way, and they talk to each other quite a bit, it sounds like, too. So we're a close-knit community down here. You know, Joe, really the biggest thing in basketball since Murray Weir. Mm. I mean, you know, that's pretty much the way it's been. And he's on track to break Jeff Horner's career 4A scoring record. So that's going to be the statistical thing that we're kind of watching this year. But I think more importantly, the former Iowa City Regina product, Gary Belger, who's our head coach down here now at Muscatine, I think we're trying to break a streak of not making it deep into the playoffs. I think that's one of Joe's goals, and hopefully they can put a team around him here that can do that. Obviously, that's a challenge with, you know, Patrick McCaffrey and Iowa City West right there, too. But that's the goal, and it's fun to see our community be able to root for a kid that does so much in our community, too. He gives a lot back, spends time with the younger kids. He really likes to be around kids, and he's not an arrogant kid. We had the pleasure of watching Ricky Davis come through Davenport, you know, in the Mississippi Athletic Conference, and not treat people well at all. You don't get that with Joe Wieskamp. He treats everybody with respect. He treats people well. And where there's a competitiveness, I think, with the other people in our conference, there's not a lack of respect, like I think you saw with Ricky Davis. So it's impressive to have him here. We're happy to. I'm thankful that I can call his family friends, but most importantly, I'm thankful to be from Muscatine and to have him be our representative moving forward.
Yeah. Well, enjoy, Joel. Thanks for the next call.
No problem. See you guys.
Yep, Joel from Muscatine, our friend down there, joining us here on the program. Speaking of kudos, as far as newspaper articles, you and I both read this today. And the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Dave Matter is the beat writer for the Mizzou Tigers, wrote a great piece today about Robin Pinchton, the women's basketball coach, the former Robin Becker from Cedar Rapids Jefferson Lore, and, of course, her sister Lisa Becker and their father Arlo Becker, and it's about getting ready for the season without Arlo there. They were actually going to have Arlo stay down there during the winter, found out through this article, and watch all the grandkids play and watch his daughter's coach and whatever the case may be. And, of course, we lost Arlo last year, or earlier this year, I should say.
Robin's supposed to have a terrific team this year, maybe her best team ever. And, of course, Lisa's son is one of the most prized freshman in the nation this year.
Yeah, and they're both on the team.
Yeah, so, that was a very moving piece. And I think we both retweeted that if you want to take a look.
Yeah, and Dave Matter is the writer from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Very, very good piece right there. 319-366-1600. I wanted to get you updated on volleyball because we don't want to forget about that. We mentioned the 2A semifinals that have been completed now, and that would be The sweeps by Dyke New Hartford, also the sweep by Western Christian. Earlier on today in Class 3A, Osage ousted Tipton 3-0. Also, Waterloo Columbus dispatched Dyersville Beckman 3-0. Sioux Center 3-1 over Red Oak. And Carol Kemper, a straight sets winner over number 7 Iowa Falls Alden, 25-11, 25-22, and 25-20. Then coming up later on at 4 o'clock in 2A, it's going to be Grundy Center taking on Sydney and Council Bluffs St. Albert meeting Unity Christian. And then coming up tonight in Class 1A volleyball at 6 o'clock, Janesville, number 1, will take on East Mills. Lamar's Galen will take on Tripola. Then at 8 o'clock, a couple Eastern Iowans going at it. Starmont will take on Fort Madison Holy Trinity. And the Springville Orioles will take on North Tama at 8 o'clock coming up tonight. Semifinals tomorrow.
71-91 on the text line. Did you boys watch the Nature Boy last night?
Yes.
On ESPN. I told you yesterday, folks, just not interested. And I'm not going to pretend to be interested in something I'm not. But you can report on that, Scott. I've read some articles today. Understand the Nature Boy is kind of in Will Chamberlain's category.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I thought it was terrific. I thought it was really, really well done. He is a very complicated individual. I think we can all agree on that, Ric Flair. And yes, whether you enjoy wrestling or not, I'm not a big wrestling aficionado. In college, yeah, we followed it a little bit because it was fun. And Ric Flair was the man. Woo. Back in the day. He's fighting a lot of demons. And I think the documentary last night did go a long way to show that. Yeah, I think deep down he's a really good guy. But he's not a family man. Admitted, he could not stay home. He couldn't stay with a family for more than one day. Probably should be dead at this time, several times, and is not. Lost a son, obviously, and they went into that last night. But I thought it was a really good piece. For 90 minutes on pro wrestling, living on the road, being a superstar like that, and what you got to go through. And it's not all glitz and glamour at that point.
It's not what you have to go through. It's what you choose to
go
through.
It's what he chose to go through. And he was the first one to admit it. I chose this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I chose wrestling over having a life, mm-hmm. a personal life. And he's the first one to admit that. Thought it was very well done.
Well, all those 30 for 30s are very good, so I don't doubt that for a minute. The subject matter, I'm just not interested in, so I'm glad you could report on it, Scott.
Happy to do so, Mark.
You know, I might catch it by accident one of these days. And
I would recommend you watch it. I would recommend you watch it, even though you're not a wrestling guy. I'm not a wrestling guy either, but I watched it because, back then I knew of it, and we had fun with it in college and back in the 80s, and he was the king.
Not like a rock, not unlike a rock star back in the 80s.
He was a rock star.
Huh?
He was a rock star in the 80s. Still a rock star out there. All right. 3:22. Coming up, we have a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away once again. 24-pack of regular or diet Dr. Pepper. Some Dr. Pepper prizes, some KGYM prizes, including a terrific pint glass from KGYM to enjoy your ice-cold Dr. Pepper in. Even though that's probably not proper English, right, Mr. Newspaper Guy?
Correct.
We'll have an opportunity for you to win that coming up in just a little bit. Also, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They will have free tickets to Hairball, which will be coming up on Saturday, November the 18th at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Your chance to win those coming up here in just a little bit.
A glass in which to enjoy your drink.
Thank you. That's why you're here, man. That and to get ready to win that jacket.
I'll be here all week, dude.
More on the jacket coming up a little bit later on. When we come back, Mark Cooper of the Tulsa World will join us. We'll talk Oklahoma State football. Cowboys coming to Ames for Senior Day on Saturday. That's coming up next here on KGYM.
You've got your rake, your gloves, and plenty of leaves in the yard. Now you just need to know what to do with them. Well, it's pretty easy. The city of Cedar Rapids divides the city into quadrants and picks up every other week. The schedule's at cityofcr.com/leaf. But you can make it even easier when you sign up at crnewsnow.com. Sign up with your street address and the city will send you a text or email reminder when it's your pickup week. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up today at crnewsnow.com.
You guys want to do it?
Ryan Peck drives to rural towns every week, bringing music to kids who need it most.
From the top, ready?
He dreams of showing people the importance of music in a child's life. American Family Insurance is helping make that happen right now.
Keep on sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep
American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Cancellation fee may apply, subject to eligibility. Not available in Alaska, Missouri, and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit tocowarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
You've been driving your car for a few years now. It's old enough to make you a little nervous, but you'd like to hold off buying a new one as long as possible. Has your manufacturer's warranty expired? Is it about to? What if you lost your transmission today? Would it wipe out your savings or max out your credit card? Truth is, you may gamble yourself deeper into debt. Protect yourself from big, unexpected car repair bills with an affordable vehicle protection plan from Toco Warranty. It's easy and affordable. You pick the coverage, you even choose your own repair shop. When it happens, and it will, your plan pays your mechanic directly so you don't have to. Roadside service, towing, and rental car benefits are included, all for a fraction of what you'd pay out of pocket. Drive carefree with a simple phone call. 800-276-1431. That's 800-276-1431. 800-276-1431.
Eastern Iowa sports is their domain. Back to the gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
325, back with you here on the Wednesday edition of the gym class here on KGYM. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn will come your way next. Iowa State and Oklahoma State will come up on Saturday. We'll have it at 12:30 for you on 1600 AM with John Walters and Eric Heft on the call. And 2:35 will be the kickoff, for approximately 2:35. And it is Senior Day coming up in Ames. Big, big game, not only for the Cyclones, but also for Oklahoma State, for the Big 12 as well. And to talk about it, Mark Cooper joining us from the Tulsa World, who covers the Oklahoma State Cowboys. And Mark, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And first of all, has everybody recovered from 62-52? My goodness, you went to a football game and a basketball game broke out last Saturday.
Yeah, I don't think, I think the entire state just wanted to sleep through Sunday after that one. That was a... it felt like we were inside the stadium for 10, 12 hours. It was a heck of a game, a heck of a long day. Obviously, on the Oklahoma State side, I'm not entirely sure that many of the fans have recovered, because, you know, so much was lost with that 62-52 final score. But I think that historically people are going to look back at that game and point to it as, you know, maybe the most exciting Bedlam game that's ever been played.
Oklahoma State favored this week on the road. Are you surprised at that, Mark?
You know, I'm not, because if you look at OSU outside of that the OU game, they've been playing pretty well as of late. You know, they went to West Virginia the week before, hosting the Sooners, and put up 50 points and won a 50-39 game that really wasn't even as close as the final score, you know, made it seem. I think you know, there was a blocked punt and a pick six in a three-play span that gave West Virginia some life. But aside from those two plays, Oklahoma State was three or four touchdowns better than West Virginia on that day. And just kind of given, you know, that I was coming up a loss up there, that doesn't surprise me very much at all. Not to mention, I think, you know, when Vegas makes those lines, there's obviously a lot of perception there. And even with Iowa State's two big wins, I don't know how they're being perceived nationally, but I certainly think that people still look at Oklahoma State like a top 15 team coming off that loss to OU, which makes me think the 6.5 probably sounds about right. Though, given the potential for cold weather, rain, everything else, I sort of think that Iowa State's got a really good chance on their home field this weekend.
Yeah, forecast looks pretty dismal for Saturday, but hopefully that will change a little bit for Oklahoma State and Iowa State. What, being around the Cowboys this week, what is what's the persona? What's their mental image like going into this game? Coming off of Bedlam, probably the fact that the national championship Final Four is out of the picture at this point. Maybe not. Who knows? A lot of crazy things could happen. But what is the mental outlook for the Cowboys?
Yeah, you know, it's been a little bit more upbeat and open than I expected. You know, we talked to Mike Gundy on Monday he did nearly an hour of local media on Monday, and it was very much a sort of stream of consciousness, him just kind of saying whatever was coming to his head, and he sort of took a 10,000-foot view of the OU game and the Oklahoma State program and tried to put that loss in perspective and look ahead and talked about how actually he thinks that the excitement of that game and sort of the atmosphere on campus that day, he said there was an estimated 40,000 people tailgating outside the stadium before the game. He thinks that that's going to, I guess, kind of mobilize some people around OSU to maybe there'll be some new donors who want to, you know, make some things happen at Oklahoma State. He talked about things that they need to take the next step in this program, whether it's cosmetic things like a larger Jumbotron inside the stadium, or items like a career center or in addition to the academic center in their end zone where all their facilities are. He sort of feels like, in spite of the loss, just sort of the excitement around campus and around the game and it being one of the biggest games to be played in that stadium, is going to pay dividends for Oklahoma State down the line in the next 2 or 3 years. And I think that sort of calmed a lot of fans. Now with the players, this is a very senior-heavy team, especially on offense when you look at Rudolph and Washington and Marcel Aitman and, you know, quite a few veterans on their offensive line. You know, those guys are still looking at this and saying they've got a chance to make the Big 12 championship, but it's kind of a long shot because they need either TCU or OU to lose twice. But I think there's also some hope and optimism in the program that if they finish strong and get to 10-2, that might be enough to secure a pretty good bowl game. They might be able to sneak in as a New Year's Six at large at 10-2 if they do it impressively enough down the stretch.
Well, this team has done pretty well defending the run, not so much against the pass. What's the problem there?
The problem really was Baker Mayfield the other day.
Yeah.
You know, throwing for 600 yards, because you look the week before against West Virginia, Will Greer threw 4 interceptions against that defense. And just, you know, 10 days ago, people around here were saying that, hey, these cornerbacks Oklahoma State has are better than people think. The one issue they do have is they're still very young at the cornerback position, and they don't have a lot of depth. They start a sophomore in A.J. Green, who has 3 interceptions in his last 2 games, and I think has kind of blossomed into a very good player. But on the other side, they have a redshirt freshman starter in Rodarius Williams, who struggled mightily on Saturday night. Marquise Brown burned him quite a few times. And there's not really any depth behind them. They brought in a graduate transfer from Clemson before the season, and Adrian Baker, but he's already left the program, and he couldn't crack their starting lineup. They dismissed another sophomore cornerback they thought was going to help them early on this season, and so just the numbers that their cornerback position are really thin. They've even took one of their safeties, Ramon Richards, who used to be a corner, and they played him some at corner against OU the other night just because they don't really have anybody behind their 2 starters who they can trust at this point. So I'd say if there's a weakness on this defense, it's still the cornerback position. Even though they've kind of found one guy they like in A.J. Green, there's not a whole lot of depth and there's not a whole lot of confidence in their number 2.
Mark Cooper joining us from the Tulsa World, talking Oklahoma State football here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Mason Rudolph, 27 touchdowns, 63% completion percentage, as good numbers, obviously, for the quarterback for OSU. I know he's not happy because he's not going to have a chance to get that national championship opportunity that he wanted, but still a really solid year for Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, no doubt. And he's obviously helped by the amount of weapons they've got across their offense. You know, James Washington sprained his ankle late in the third quarter of that Bedlam game. He had 128 yards receiving before then. And the player they brought in to replace him, Tyron Johnson, a former LSU receiver who came in and caught, went for more than 100 yards and 2 touchdowns in Washington's place. And so they've got so many receivers that I think they feel pretty confident about their top 6 receivers, their top 2 running backs in Justice Hill and J.D. King. And so that's given Mason Rudolph so many options that it's hard for him not to find a receiver open on most plays down the field. Now, it'll be interesting on Saturday because his track record on the road and his track record in cold or rainy weather is not too great. You know, they went down to Texas a few weeks ago, and he wasn't very good down there. And in his history in games where he's got to play with the wet football, it's kind of gotten tricky. He was 11 of 25 at OU last season when it was sort of a rainy, cold day. And There's been a couple other instances that he struggled with that. So I think Saturday's sort of an interesting game for him, especially in terms of his pro prospects, because I think if you're an NFL personnel guy, you want to see how he responds to the loss, and you want to see how he responds to playing in sort of a difficult environment up there against Iowa State.
Yeah, what is Mike Gundy has experience, of course, taking very good teams to Ames with mixed results. What has he had to say about that experience this week?
Yeah, you know, he didn't go back, and obviously, you know, 2011 is the one everybody points to, but even 2 years ago, that was a game that I think everybody in the press box felt Iowa State had won until OSU came back down the stretch and J.W. Walsh helped them win that game. But the one thing that Mike Gundy did kind of want to talk about with Iowa State is he sort of focused on the last year or so with Matt Campbell being there, and I guess he's gotten to know Matt Campbell pretty well since he's taken the Iowa State job, but he was extremely complimentary of their coach and what he's done there. And I don't know that many head coaches around the country would do this, but you know, Gundy said he likes Jamie Pollard, and he said Jamie Pollard better ante up to keep Matt Campbell because he thinks he's the guy that Iowa State needs to keep around as their coach. So he kind of focused on this present era of Iowa State football, but he's impressed. And you know, even last year, Campbell took an Iowa State team into Stillwater in early October and nearly walked away with a win at Boone Pickens Stadium. So I think, you know, these two teams, the line's a lot closer this year than I think it's probably been in the past few seasons, which will be interesting because most of the time Iowa State's outperformed what's expected of them in this matchup.
He was very complimentary about Joel Lanning, I know. Just went on and on about Iowa State's linebacker and two-way player.
Yeah, he actually revealed that, you know, he kind of went the Bill Snyder route and sent Joel Lanning a handwritten note after Iowa State's win in Norman against Oklahoma. He didn't mention it at the time, but he mentioned it this week that he was so impressed by what he saw with Lanning playing on both sides of the ball. And, you know, you just really haven't seen a player do that in this era, especially at linebacker and quarterback, that he wrote a handwritten note, which he said his college coach, Pat Jones, kind of taught him to send thank you notes and handwritten notes. He decided that he was compelled enough to send one to Joel Lanning back then, and that's not something that we've heard much about Mike Gundy doing over the years. So I think it certainly takes quite a high level of respect for him and a player for him to do that, especially a guy who he hasn't even played yet this season. You know, he sent him that letter knowing that he's going to have to go play Iowa State later on in the season.
Five times over 50 points this Oklahoma State team has accomplished. Is a shootout in its best interest?
I think so, especially in this game. You know, Oklahoma State is an offense that plays fast. They ran 88 plays against OU. They ran 90 plays against West Virginia. They ran, I think, 89 against Texas a couple weeks ago. And, you know, Mike Gundy was actually asked about that this week because they got the ball back down 55-52 against OU with 3 minutes left. Really had some time to run the ball with Justice Hill and set up a drive, and they did give the ball to Hill 30 times. But Gundy said that, you know, they're going to stick to their offense and what they do, and, you know, they're not going to slow down based on the opponent or based on anything else. They're going to take what the defense gives them to an extent. West Virginia and Texas backed off and forced OSU to run the ball, and they did so. But tempo is something that Mike Gundy said that he wants to be a staple of Oklahoma State football. You know, he said his goal for OSU has always been, if there's an OSU game on TV, it compels the average college football fan to put on that game over another one because they get to see an exciting brand of football. And so he says, you know, win or lose, they're not really going to change what they do in terms of their tempo. And I think, you know, more often than not, it pays off. The only times it really doesn't pay off is when there's an elite offense on the other side, like there was with Oklahoma. I think they trust that their defense can play well enough against most teams this year, but the problem with OU is they ran into an offense that could score just as fast and just as efficiently.
Yeah, and 45 degrees and rain, that is the forecast for Saturday. What do you see with those conditions for this game?
I think, you know, I just mentioned Justice Hill. I think you're going to see a lot of Justice Hill. I would expect that Iowa State's going to be wary of OSU's deep passing game, as every opponent for the last month has been. And Hill's really coming on strong. You know, he's a sophomore who's over 1,000 yards for the second year in a row. Mike Gundy said on Monday, he's not sure that he's seen a better running back in the country than Hill this season. He's coming off his best game of his career, 228 yards and two touchdowns against OU. But he's kind of been that way all the Big 12 play. He's got five 100-yard games in six Big 12 games, and the only time he didn't get to 100 yards was because he only had 12 carries before he got hurt. So I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Justice Hill, and the freshman running back behind him, J.D. King, carried the ball 36 times when Hill got hurt against West Virginia. So they're confident that if a team wants to take away the pass or if the conditions don't merit them throwing the ball at the top, they're confident in handing the ball to Justice Hill 30 times. He's done it three times this season, and I could see it being the fourth given the conditions down there.
Should be interesting. A lot at stake on Saturday. Hey, Mark, safe travels, and appreciate your time, and have fun in Ames coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
You bet. Mark Cooper from the Tulsa World joining us here, talking Oklahoma State football here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM.
Poll question today, KGYMradio.com. Brought to you by Emo's Hideaway. Scott, do you believe Ric Flair's claim that he has slept with 10,000 women?
I would say it's more than that.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Thanks to Emo's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar
that?
Rapids. Next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Was this poll question approved by HR? Or was Julie busy?
Don't you lose count after a while? I mean, we got a tote board like our whiteboard.
Might have been in the 80s, 10,000. Oh, my goodness. Well, there you go. Go ahead and vote. KGYMradio.com. From that, we go to bowling.
I don't know what kind of segue that is.
It isn't one. We're just moving on. It's bowling night in America tonight, and our preview is brought to you by May City Bowl, Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. And stop on by, stop at their pro shop. They've got great stuff right there, and also some open bowling they can let you know about, and including glow bowling as well. Tonight, you have a ultimate responsibility tonight.
Listen, there's some great college football matchups this weekend, and it starts tonight. It's not college football. It's bowling. It's one of the great rivalries in our town.
In all of sports.
It's the Rusty Nails against the Pin Pals for the Schmiedium Jacket. The traveling Schmiedium Jacket that has hung in your office for quite some time now.
It has. We took it
down.
And
I aim to bring it back to your office tomorrow afternoon.
I appreciate that. It looked empty without it, didn't it?
It did.
The office looked empty.
I don't like the look. No.
I don't either. So we need to win that thing back tonight. Way down on 31
and
32.
Yeah, they stuck us all the way down against the wall, but that's okay. We'll deal with it. Pin Pals, Rusty Nails. Lanes 31 and 32 tonight. The Rusty Nails tied for fourth right now at 20 and 16. Pin Pals, not doing too well.
They had their 8-game winning streak snapped last week. Let's just put it that way.
And they did. They were in a bit of a roll.
They beat Durline, though.
Well, we're not taking anything for granted against those guys, are we?
No. No. And I'll be back there for a little bit. I'm off tonight.
You are. I'll be texting you.
Well, I'll be there for a little bit.
Okay.
And then head off to basketball. Since we don't play till late tonight, but... Good seats are still available, by the way.
Very much so. If you want to reserve a seat, 362-0136 is the phone line to May City Bowl. And go ahead and visit their pro shop. Andy Dirk's doing a great job out there with that. Set you up with a party, open bowling, what have you. Or go to the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
All right, we'll take a break, come back. Chris List of rotowire.com to join us in your fantasy football questions for Chris at 319-366-1600. It's brought to you by Imon Communications. Back with more after this. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league,
but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
DirecTV has been rated number one in customer satisfaction over cable for 17 years running. But some people still like cable, just like some people like being crushed by a massive linebacker.
Thanks!
Shanking the game-winning field goal.
Yes, I missed!
Finding hair in their nachos.
Mmm, tastes better.
And getting snapped with a wet towel in the locker room.
Ow, fun!
For everyone else, there's DirecTV. For number one rated customer satisfaction over cable, switch to DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
As compared to other major subscription TV cable providers, claim based on 2001 to 2017 ACSI surveys of customers rating their own TV provider's performance.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough. And sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Back with you on the Gym Class, the Wednesday edition. We got a huge show coming up Thursday and Friday. Coming up tomorrow, Kevin Lehman's going to join us. Also coming up tomorrow, Rob Gray to talk Iowa State. And I wrote it down, and now I can't even read my writing here.
Be the guy that was destined for greatness.
Chuck Long tomorrow is going to join us, talk about his new book. He's got book signings around the state of Iowa, so that'll be coming up on a busy Thursday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Right now, we bring in Chris Liss of RotoWire.com to take your fantasy football questions, fantasy sports questions at 319-366-1600. Our talk with Chris is brought to you by I'm On Communications. They are the sponsor of all things fantasy sports here on KGYM. Chris, bad beat Sunday for me. I lost 117.74 to 117.68. Man,
wow! You know, you got to who was it? I mean, it can't be a bad beat just because it's close, Scott. You had to have something really unlucky and unusual happen.
Sounds like bad management to me, Chris.
Yeah, I would say bad management.
It could have been bad management. It was just bad luck in my other league because I lost. A.J. Green had the wherewithal to get kicked out early in the second quarter, and Eddie Lacy, as he was named starting running back in Seattle, got hurt like three plays into the game. So that kind of ruined my day as far as fantasy football.
I really don't like it when they don't have the courtesy to get hurt in the fourth quarter. You know, the week Beckham got hurt, it was fourth quarter. He had a touchdown of 90 yards. I really appreciate that, you know? I mean, if you're going to get hurt, please, just do it with like 10 minutes left in the game. When they do it in the first quarter, it can really kill you.
A lot of texts rolling in, as usual, Chris. 1288 is in a half-point PPR league and needs a flex from this jumble of mediocrity. Allen, Corey Davis, Abdullah, and Drake.
I think Drake is the safest of the bunch. I think that if you want some upside, Corey Davis might give it to you, but I think just to be safe, you'd probably go Drake.
0656, I lost Deshaun Watson. I have Tyrod Taylor and picked up Big Ben on waivers. A buddy offered me Russell Wilson for Tyreek Hill and Will Fuller. Should I accept a trade or roll with Ben or Tyrod?
I would, you know, this week, actually, I don't love Russell Wilson, although actually not too bad. I would probably accept it. I'd probably do it. Because those guys like Fuller, I mean, without Deshaun Watson, is pretty worthless. And then Tyreek Hill's pretty good, but depends who his receivers are. I'd probably take the deal for Wilson.
going to probably bring in John here from Columbus Junction with a couple of questions. John, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Anyway, PPR league, Mariota or Goff, and running backs, I can start two. I got Elliott, Hunt,
let's go one at a time. Let's go one at a time. My memory's not that good. I would go Goff over Mariota. I like his matchup. And what's your running back question?
What's second question, John?
What's your running?
What was that?
What's the second question?
Oh, that was both of them in a nice little package. Quarterback, running back.
Give us the running back question.
Hunt, Elliott, or Christian McCaffrey? I can start two.
Blunt, Elliott, or McCaffrey? Well, McCaffrey over Blunt, but if Elliott plays, he's automatic. It's just, you know, you're going to have to wait till tomorrow to the hearing, tomorrow 2 p.m. Eastern, to find out. So most people think it's like 80-20 or worse against Elliott, that he's going to end up getting suspended. I kind of have a feeling he's going to beat it. But we'll know for sure. You won't have to make your decision until you know for sure tomorrow.
All right, appreciate the call. 319-366-1600. Go ahead.
8258, Chris. I have three running backs on a bye. I have Jonathan Stewart, but need to pick up one of the following on waivers. Ivory.
Wait, you're starting Stewart? That's horrible. Yeah. Ivory, yep. What else?
Devontae Booker. Giovanni Bernard.
Okay.
Burkhead.
I'd go Booker.
Okay.
That group.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. CJ Anderson got a little banged up, didn't do much the last couple weeks. I think they're going to give Booker a little audition.
8258, my opponent has Diggs and Thielen. Should I pick up Case Keenum as QB2 as strategy or just roll with Ryan/Stafford as his two QBs?
Yeah, I'd probably go Stafford this week. Brown stopped the run really well. They don't stop the pass at all. Stafford's been in a little bit of a roll. Don't worry about blocking him, you know. I mean, you're going to feel pretty dumb if the receivers do poorly, Keenum does poorly, and his running backs beat you. Just get a good game out of your own quarterback.
91-36 with Mike Evans suspended. Devontae Parker's starting wide receiver. He needs a flex out of Doug Martin, Kenyon Drake, Martavis Bryant, or Derrick Henry. Full point PPR.
Kenyon Drake is who I would use. Henry's kind of interesting, but Murray is still going to probably play. If Murray were scratched, I would use Henry, but I think he's going to play. So go Drake.
97-61. Any running backs who haven't done much thus far but could have big second halves?
Well, you'd want to look at, like, the key backups, guys like Deonta Foreman in Houston, you know, in case Lamar Miller got hurt, which he always seems to do. Austin Eckler, who's Melvin Gordon's backup, could have a decent, you know, decent run if Gordon were to get hurt. Devontae Booker is another guy who, you know, I told you to pick up, who could have a run for the Broncos. You know, just guys like that. They're not great, but, you know, Marlon Mack, they decided to put Frank Gore out to pasture finally. Those kind of players that are backing up running backs right now.
41-13 needs a flex and a standard league, Chris. Smith-Schuster, Crowell, or Robbie Anderson?
I'd probably go Robbie Anderson.
John would like to know, is Josh Gordon worth taking a chance on?
I think so. I'm a huge Josh Gordon fan. I haven't let it go. I keep, you know, hoping I got him in a couple of weeks.
93-55. Sorry, my screen scrolled down there for a minute. Standard scoring league. I need a flex. Do I start T.Y. Hilton or Deshaun Jackson?
That's actually a good one. I'll probably go Hilton, even though Pittsburgh's got a good defense. Deshaun Jackson is going to be the number one receiver, but I don't know how many targets he'll get, so I'll still go Hilton.
Another Josh Gordon question from 8006, I believe it is. Should I drop Rawls for Gordon? Is Gordon worth picking up PPR league?
If Rawls is a bench player, yes, in a PPR league. You know, the thing is, Gordon is not eligible to week 13, so you better hope he goes like 5-for-40 or something, or 5-for-60, so that you can start him in your week 14 playoff. Because if he doesn't do much in week 13, there's no way you can start him in your playoff game. So he's got one game to prove it. But let's just remember, when Josh Gordon was 22 and the quarterbacks he had were Brandon Weeden, Jason Campbell, and Brian Hoyer, he led the NFL in receiving in 14 games. And it turns out he was drunk half the time.
Mm.
I hope he doesn't pull a Johnny Fever. You remember WKRP?
Yes, oh yes.
He got better and better every time he drank another shot. You know, I mean, hopefully it's not, and he was totally slow when he was sober.
hopefully it's not a case like that. So I'm a little bit bullish on Gordon.
It's always a great show. We can drop a WKRP reference. 0720 Standard League, DeMarco or Abdullah?
Ugh, Abdullah just fumbled twice. I'll say DeMarco.
Need to start two quarterbacks out of these, Kaiser, Beathard, or Savage?
It's barbaric choices, Mark. I'm going to say, wow, that's really bad. I'm going to say Beathard against the Giants, but it's bad. It's not a good choice.
Go CJ.
0720, pick two wide receivers among these, Marvin Jones Jr., Thielen, or Kelvin Benjamin?
I'll sit Benjamin for now. I want to see, you know, sometimes it takes receivers like a whole year to get integrated into an offense, and he just got traded midseason, so I'll sit Benjamin until I see him perform.
67-79 Rivers or Hundley?
Rivers. Because Rivers has Jacksonville. That's the problem. That's a really tough matchup, and Hundley's got the Bears. I'll still say Rivers.
Hundley, though. Like, oh, my gosh, the
yeah,
Packers.
Yeah, borderline. Yeah.
68-12. You know. 68-12 in a standard league, Evan Engram and T.Y. Hilton trade offer for my running backs, Engram. I'm sorry, that's incomplete, Chris, okay? 91-36.
Whatever it is, do it. Take the trade.
Start Joe Mixon over Doug Martin?
Yeah, I mean, those are both brutal, but yeah, probably Joe Mixon.
Still waiting on more texts, Chris, but I want to ask you about your blog from this past weekend about the weekend games, and you made the comment that you believe Dak Prescott is a number three quarterback right now and would be number one if Zeke is out. Can you explain that?
Yeah, and that was before I realized that Dez was hurt, so, you know, so that hurts a little bit, but assuming Dez was reasonably healthy and Zeke were out, Dak Prescott would start running for 40, 50 yards a game. He gets a lot of rushing touchdowns. He's got the most rushing touchdowns of any quarterback since the start of last year. And, you know, he'd start throwing 2-3 touchdowns a game with 250 yards passing. Dallas' defense is just mediocre. You know, he's just like Russell Wilson, but with the worst defense, basically, if you take Zeke out of it. Zeke gets so much of the, you know, production on the ground that it takes away from Prescott. So if he's gone, Dak would be doing more. The other two guys that are in the mix are Brady, just so steady, but obviously he doesn't run. And then Wentz has been so good, but Wentz has a bye week. So you got to downgrade him because he's got 1/7 of his season is gone, you know, these other guys have. So I would have Prescott as my number one guy right now if Zeke doesn't beat the Raps tomorrow.
Here's one more ugly one, Chris. 69-64, Fitzpatrick or Hundley?
Fitzpatrick.
0720, standard league pick two, Fitzgerald, Keenan Allen, Ted Ginn Jr., or Juju?
Ted Ginn Jr., they all have really tough matchups, and maybe, I mean, Keenan Allen's got a really tough matchup in Jacksonville, and so does Fitzgerald. I'll say Fitzgerald and Ted Ginn, but none of them are good.
Got time for one more text, 8240, Cam or Tyrod in a standard league?
Cam has the upside, Tyrod is steadier. I think I'll say Cam at home against the Dolphins.
Ginn's had a pretty decent year for the New Orleans Saints. Kind of
last 4 or 5 weeks, he's been great. Yeah,
Chris strikes me as a Ric Flair fan.
I don't, you know, I was into wrestling when I was like 10. You know, I was into like really pre Hulk Hogan, like Bob Backlund.
Oh yeah,
Sheik, remember those guys?
Yeah.
Did you watch it last night though?
I didn't watch it. No, the 30 for 30, I did not watch it.
Okay, you need to watch it. Need to watch it. I'm not a wrestling guy, but it was okay. Entertaining.
Yeah, I'm, you know, I just never, it's big among, you know, it's like on SiriusXM is a big WWE show and stuff. I've never really got into it since I was a grown-up.
Standard League, Ric Flair or Iron Sheik?
Iron Sheik. Come on, the camel clutch. I'm the camel clutch
versus the figure four leg lock. There you go. There's our wrestling. Chris, tell us a little bit about rotowire.com.
If you like this segment and you want to get more line of advice, got everybody ranked at every position, rotowire.com/trial. It is a free 10-day trial. You don't need a credit card. Again, rotowire.com/trial.
Everything there but pro wrestling.
Exactly. Yeah, I think we covered it for a while, actually. I think we did do it.
No.
Yes, I think we did.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think we did. We have cricket, guys. We have cricket. I mean, you don't understand. You don't realize how deep it goes.
We don't have enough white clothes for cricket.
No, I don't even know the rules. And somebody's doing it on the side. I have no idea.
Hey, Chris, appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, fellas. You too.
All right. It's a good segment when you can get Camel Clutch, Iron Sheik, and a WKRP reference all in one. All right, big show coming up tomorrow. Thank you very much for joining us here today. We'll also have a Bowling Night in America recap. Bring that jacket back tonight.
That's my aim, sir.
Mark Dukes.
Okay, all right.
That is the Rusty Nails' aim tonight, is to bring the jacket home. All right, coming up tomorrow, Chuck Long will join us. Kevin Lehman will join us. Rob Gray will join us. And we'll wrap up Bowling Night in America. Hope you enjoyed it. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That's coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great night.
DirecTV has been rated number one in customer satisfaction over cable for 17 years running. But some people still like cable, just like some people like